Today on Time in the Word with Dr. Miguel Gonzalez.
We in and of ourselves don't have the ability, the strength, or the power to overcome. We must learn that if we are going to be a people who truly love Jesus and live a life of love towards Him in our pursuit of Christ, we will need to realize that our love for Him, if it's going to be a mature love, it's going to be a love that's going to need to be tested.
Welcome to Time in the Word, featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. What does it mean to pursue Christ? What does making Him Lord of all mean? How do we give Him that place of preeminence He deserves in our hearts? Those questions will be answered throughout this entire series. In The Principle of Love, Dr. Gonzalez states that considering who Jesus is and what He has done for us, as Christians, our response should be characterized by several things, chiefly by a complete and unreserved love. In the study of the principle of love, Dr. Gonzalez will consider three very important principles highlighted in Peter's failure at the crucifixion of Christ and his restoration by Jesus. In part two, Dr. Gonzalez will finish discussing the first of the three principles, a tested love.
If you have been with us the last several weeks, you know that we have started a new series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. And we're looking at principles that true disciples of Christ live out as they pursue Jesus. What are those things that we ought to be doing that will attest to the fact that the passion and commitment in our life is the pursuit of Christ? We have already talked about the fact that true disciples exalt Christ, and last week we started talking about the fact that true disciples love Christ. And we already said that one of the important things we ought to consider is the importance of a tested love. We know that love, mature love, is a love that has been tested. We were looking at Peter, and we were looking at his failure when it came to the things he claimed he would do, yet failed to do, as an illustration and as an application for our own experience so we don't do the same things. Now, we never questioned Peter's sincerity. We never questioned Peter's love for Jesus. We just found out from Scripture that Peter had become overconfident about his own strength and abilities and failed to understand that Jesus had warned him that the attacks and the opposition that he would face were far greater than anything that he would be able to handle. And that is what the Word of God is telling us. We in and of ourselves don't have the ability, the strength, or the power to overcome. We must learn that if we are going to be a people who truly love Jesus and live a life of love towards Him in our pursuit of Christ, we will need to realize that our love for Him, if it's going to be a mature love, it's going to be a love that's going to need to be tested. So we said we started looking at a few principles under the heading of the importance of tested love. And we already talked about the fact that we needed to beware of overconfidence. We need to make sure that when we are faced with opposition, when we face trials and when we face tribulations and temptations, our strength ought to come from God. We should draw from His strength to overcome those things. Now I want to talk about the importance of prayer and the role that plays in us loving God the way He desires for us to love Him. If our love, if Peter's love, was going to stand the test of opposition, we ought to be a praying people. Peter followed up his confident statement by going with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter had just said, "I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And right after Peter made that statement, he went with Jesus to the garden and, listen, fell asleep while Jesus was communing with the Father. And we know from the story that he fell asleep three times. Luke 22 and verse 39, I'll start there. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And we know from the Gospels that Peter and the other disciples who had gone with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane fell asleep three times, even though Christ had told them to pray for strength to overcome temptation. Once again, Jesus was warning Peter that he would have to do something that would help him overcome the temptations that he would be faced with soon. He was trying to tell Peter, and he's trying to tell us, that we must be a people of prayer. If prayer were not important, Jesus would have never commanded the disciples to pray in order to overcome temptation. God already knows our tomorrows, and God already knows the opposition and testing and trials and tribulations that we are going to face tomorrow and in a week and in a month and in a year. And God is saying, I know what you're going to be facing, and therefore I tell you, if you're going to overcome, you must pray. Now, prayer is a hard discipline. And it is my experience from talking to many people that the area in which they struggle the most is in the area of prayer. And I'm not talking about just coming to God and giving Him a list of things. I'm talking about committed, fervent, deep, profound communion with God. Talking with God. We are weak. None of us have the power or ability or strength to even do that which is right apart from Christ. Jesus Himself said, you can do nothing apart from me. And that includes overcoming opposition and overcoming temptation. We are weak, therefore we need to pray. But it's a challenge. But we must learn what it is that prayer does for us. When you pray and you talk to God, you know what happens at that moment? God reaches down and lifts you up into His presence. That's what happens when you pray. When you seek God's face, He lifts you up in that prayer that you're praying, in that passion, fervent prayer, and He brings you into His presence, into the very throne of grace. That is one of the most wonderful blessings about being a child of God. We, as His children, have access to the very throne of grace, and we can stand before God in prayer and commune and fellowship and talk to Him. But it's hard work, and it's a choice that we must make if we are going to overcome and we're going to be successful Christians in terms of our spiritual maturity and our service for God. We must understand that apart from prayer, we can't overcome. I'm convinced about this. Satan knows what happens when a person talks to God. See, when you talk to God, that's when things get done. And Satan knows that something divine happens when you commune with God. Therefore, he wants to keep you from communing and talking to God, so whatever it is that was about to happen supernaturally does not happen. Business gets done when we talk to God, when we understand that it is through God and by God that things get accomplished. You know how our prayer life ought to be? Jacob gave us a good illustration, an example of how prayer ought to be. You remember the story in which Jacob was talking to God, and Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. We ought to be so committed to prayer that when we're lifted up into the presence of God, we refuse to leave His presence until He has blessed us. And I don't mean the pink Winnebago. I'm not talking about materialism. I'm not talking about houses and cars and money. I'm talking about not leaving God's presence until we have experienced Him to the fullest extent. And Jacob said, I will not leave unless you bless me. But we first have to get to where God is. We first have to be lifted into His presence before we can make a statement like that. But that is how our prayer life ought to be. Now, there's an important lesson to be learned here. The times when you and I feel the most vulnerable and spiritually sleepy, those are perhaps the times when we need to arouse ourselves and get awake and pray. These disciples followed Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus told these disciples, I know what is coming. Pray. You're going to need to pray because I know what is coming. And in their vulnerability and in their sleepy state, spiritually speaking, instead of arousing themselves and becoming awake to pray, they fell asleep. If Jesus knows what's coming and He knows that I'm going to need to do certain things to overcome, I better be listening to what He's saying and do them. The importance of prayer. It's interesting that Peter, who failed Jesus at the time Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death, it's interesting that this Peter, who went with Jesus and was told by Jesus to pray and fell asleep, is the same Peter who wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Here's sleepy Peter telling now the church to be alert. Listen to what he says. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Wasn't that what Jesus told Peter to do? Peter, I need you to wake up. I need you to be alert. I need you to pray, because the devil is coming and he's going to test you and try you and tempt you. And if you are not relying on my strength, and if you are not communing and fellowshipping with me in prayer, you will fail. And you know what Peter did? He failed. He wrote that verse in 1 Peter from experience. Is there a lesson there for us to learn? Absolutely. God is saying, listen, you live in a world that hates you because it hates me. And as God, I am telling you that you will face opposition. As God, I am telling you, there is trials coming. As God, I am telling you, you will be tempted. And as God, I am telling you, you better be alert and pray, or you will fail. Peter's failure is an illustration to us. There are implications in there that principles that we must draw from. We don't question Peter's love for Jesus. We don't question his faith. Peter needed to learn something, as we do. And God talks about these incidents in order to teach us what to do so we don't fail when we're faced with the same circumstances. Watch over confidence, pray, and act in God's will. You remember when they were in the garden and they came to arrest Jesus, Peter took his weapon and chopped the ear off of one of the people who were coming to arrest Jesus. Peter took matters into his own hand. He was impetuous. He acted before he thought. Now, lest we judge him, that is us too. Luke 22, 49 and 50. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, this is what the followers asked Jesus, Lord, should we strike with our swords? They asked a question. When they saw that Jesus was going to be arrested, they turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, is this a time in which we have to draw our swords and fight these people? Listen to what it says after that. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And we know that was Peter, according to John 18:10. Can we relate with his impetuous nature? You know what happened? Peter loved Jesus. And Peter said, there is no way somebody's going to hurt my Lord. But he never took the time to wait long enough to hear back from God before he acted. The question was asked by the disciples, should we take our swords out and should we fight? And before Jesus was given the opportunity to answer the question, Peter was already cutting people's ears off. How often in our own experience do we act outside of God's will because we react before we give God the opportunity to tell us what his will is? See, Peter struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear because Peter didn't give Jesus long enough time to respond and tell the group what his will was. He just went out and struck. But again, lest we judge him, we do the very same thing. You know, we come to God and we pray. Yeah. Nothing too profound, because it's, yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, we're going to be frank. And we come to God with a challenge and we say, God, help me. I need help, Lord. And oftentimes, because we haven't heard back from God in the time frame we wanted to hear back, we act. And more often than not, when we take matters into our own hands, and experience knows this, if you've done it, you know it, you mess it up. because you haven't given God the opportunity to reveal to you His will concerning that matter in your life. It is amazing to me, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, it is amazing to me that we have the knowledge and understanding that Jesus Christ is God and He knows all things and He provides us with everything we need to overcome. Yet we're so impatient and so impetuous, just like Peter, that even though we know waiting for God is the best thing to do, we act on our own. That's what Peter did. He saw the crowd coming. He takes the sword out, and before Jesus tells him what His will is, he's cutting people's ears off. We need to be acting in God's will. There's no doubt that Peter acted out of love for Christ. The problem is he acted too quickly. He didn't wait long enough. He acted outside of God's will. How do we know? He struck the servant of the high priest and cut his ear off. The question was asked, but not enough time was given to hear God's response, and he acted. How are we doing in that respect? Now look at how Jesus responded to Peter's actions. In Luke 22:51, he said, "But Jesus answered, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed him." Did Peter act in accordance to God's will? No. And that is precisely why Jesus had to say, "No more of this. This is not my will. I need you to wait on me so I can tell you what my will is before you act." But listen, there's a lot involved in knowing God's will. You have to spend quiet time. You have to spend time studying, not reading, not speed reading, studying the Bible. You have to spend time praying. You have to spend time going to church, not sitting at home watching the preacher as a substitute to going to a local church and have fellowship with other Christians. There's no substitute for that. That's why Scripture commands us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's a lot of components that go into knowing God's will. One of them is patience. Consider Jesus' words. "Put your sword away." This is what he told Peter. "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" That's in John 18:11. Listen, Peter didn't realize that in his attempt to defend Jesus, he was actually almost attempting to prevent the very thing Jesus was born for, to die on the cross. If Peter had been successful, and he wouldn't have been because the decree of God is the decree of God, but Peter was standing in the very way by doing what he did. He was standing in the way of Jesus accomplishing what he had come to do. And that's why he said, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? I have come to die." And Peter, because of his impatience and impetuous nature, was attempting to stand in the way. We need to know that God has a will for us. And we need to know that He will reveal His will to us. God is not in the business of playing those kind of games. He's not in the business of saving you and then after saving you, telling you you're on your own. Figure it out. No. God is in the business of saving us, and He's in the business of growing us.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Time in the Word. As God ministers to you through this series of studies, and as you experience God's love and grace in your own life, share these podcasts with others so that they too may be blessed by God's Word and His amazing grace. Time in the Word with Bible teacher Dr. Miguel Gonzalez is a ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, a ministry committed to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear exposition of God's Word. For additional resources, or if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast and would like to support the ongoing efforts of this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.rffiministries.org.